We did a little work with Aristotle and how his views and everything is sound so good, but does not in any way consider the place and purpose of Christ, of God, or the spiritual life. Getting ready for Amsterdam, one of the side things that I took to bed has been a little reading on Spinoza. He is one of the Netherlands' most renowned philosophers. He was born in Amsterdam. Rembrandt moved there and has a lot of his stuff there, but it was Spinoza's from there. And he was cut off from the church and all because of his philosophy. And just reading through that brought to mind a lot of work over the years in reading these things. One of the things that a philosopher, in classic times, and meaning throughout church history, often you will read where you will have a man's credentials and it will have philosopher, theologian. They were a lot of times when paralleled with the same person. They would sort of mingle together philosophy and theology, coming up with their own philosophy about life. But one of the things that it does deal with is life. And what is life about? So fundamentally, when you read any philosopher, it's a good psychiatrist and psychologist. That's a whole other dirty game. But when you read philosophers, what they're dealing with is, very simply stated, a philosophy of life. What is the philosophy of life? And trying to grasp what it is about. These are men that, either of God or of the flesh, whatever, throughout history, have been moved to deal with this aspect, just as some are moved to deal with science and some are moved to deal with medicine. Men and women are moved to deal with what's life about, getting a grip on what life's about. And in that sense, people, every one of you have to decide for yourself. What is it that is at the heart of what being a Christian is about? Why are we left on earth? Why am I, let's make it very personal, why am I, each of you, why am I left here after accepting Christ as Savior? What is my purpose? And it is so easy to get it, especially today, and especially in the Metroplex, it's so easy to get it caught up into what is just be moved like a tumbleweed with society. Things and houses and things and accomplishments and this type of things that it will pass away here today and will be passed away later. So you have to make up your own mind. What is the issue in life? Even to me as a Christian, especially me as a Christian, what's my life? What is my time on earth really about? And as far as I'm concerned, the more I study Scripture now, having my eyes open into regard to spiritual love, This is what we're looking at is the totality of what life is about, because people, I can back that broad statement up by just the whole concept of the cross. What is the whole cross about? It's a demonstration of His love. And the demonstration of His love is that which restores or unites us with God. What God is about. So many people can have many different things. No, it's about a righteous life. It's about learning doctrine. It's about serving. It's about what basic thing is life really about? And it's all of these. Well, you can do it, get too complicated in that. I think we make it very simple. It's back to this one thing, and what is it? And what Jesus Christ said, in my opinion, marked it all. He said, this is the mark that you belong to me. This is the exclusion, the mark, the proof, if you please, that you belong to me. If you love as I have loved. If you love one another, let's make it very emphatic. If you love one another as I have loved. And it's what is lacking in the church. The church doesn't have that. The church is filled, and when I say church, I mean church history, I mean right up to today. I'm interested, and it's not just because of Southern Baptists, because when it comes up with the Methodists, Presbyterians, and all of this, all of the stands that they're going to make, And what is so interesting when I read all of this, including the Southern Baptist, when I read all of this, Christ crucified, resurrected, and glorified is not there. And what a phenomenal time to make that, if the press is going to write about you, if the press is going to write and give you front page covering, make it front page news. No, we're both, women can't be in the pulpit. Front page stuff. We're going to write you, we don't want any homosexuals as pastors. Front page stuff. The world doesn't care. You know, okay, that's what they are. They don't like queers. They don't like women. They don't do this and that. And then we got this big long list now, and we're going to stand by our list, and this is what it's about. And I know Paige Patterson. I went to college one semester with him in Abilene, and boy, he's just so proud that the Southern Baptists, that the conservative branches, they're taking their stand. Is that what it's about, people? Is that what it's about? And I'm not mocking Paige Patterson, please. I'm just saying he's so into it, and he's encompassed. This is it. Is that what life's about? Is that what the church is supposed to be? Is that what we're supposed to be? And then you do the same thing with the Presbyterians when they're having their conventions, and the Methodists when they're having theirs. Just right now, it's the Baptist, and made a big split. So the news makes a big split. They make a big deal about that. And Christ crucified and resurrected, people, I have not read it once. And I mean, it's one of the few things that I do go on and read, you know, page 38, section 8. And I'll go ahead and read it. And what I'm looking for is to see, are they going to use this opportunity to make our story real? And they don't. They just argue back and forth. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then even if they're not going to give the gospel in that respect, what the message that they are giving is how we separate ourselves from everybody. That's the message you read. We don't believe this. We don't do this. We don't believe this. We don't agree here. We don't want this. We don't want that. And if you're reading the article, and people, I'm not talking about not having your firm beliefs of what's right and wrong. I'm not talking about that. That's good. But it guides you. It's not for you to control the world with. It's to guide you personally in through your life in Christ. But everybody reads this, and you're just reading how they just continually cutting themselves off from society. And they're continually doing these things. And yet on the other hand, they think they're making this big stand for God. People, I don't see that as what it's about, what it meaning life and what it meaning our position in Christ on earth today. That I don't see that. What we're here to do is to love as Christ loved. And that's what the cross is about. So I think what we're in the midst of studying, and each of you have to make up your own mind. You might be a theologian and come up with something else, or philosophy, something else. But this is what we see. Okay, we're now ready to move right into our study. We took up an introduction the last hour. Now, what the world can see when it observes the Christian, and when it observes spiritual love in action. This is what we're going to look at. What does the world, meaning angel and man, see? Now, there's a passage in Job, and we've looked at it before, but we won't take time now, but it calls the world an arena. So if we just call this the world, there's an arena, and there's a grandstand around this arena, and that's why it's called an arena. And in the grandstand are angels. Angels are watching. Remember, this is what angels are, but this is why what man is partly is all about. It's because of the higher creation of the angels and their rebellion against God. And the higher creature learns from the lower creature. Angels are going to learn from man. That's one. And then you have the Jews, who are the chosen people. They're going to learn from Gentiles, namely the church, who are, in their opinion, beneath them. Man learns from animals. I mean, it just keeps going on. And what God is doing is showing you learn from the lower creature. And you think you're so superior, and I'm going to show you that you're not, and that an inferior creature can have a better understanding of me, God, than you have. So they're watching. Now, the point of all of this is, What are they going to see? What is going to be what all these areas, all these grandstands looking at, what is it that they're going to see that reveals that you belong to Jesus Christ? Not because you say so, but what are they looking at that is going to demonstrate to them, oh, there's one of those Christians there? Is it going to be because I carry a Bible? Is it going to be because I say I am? Is it going to be because of all that my creed, I go to church, all this kind of stuff? No, people, this is what they are going to see, all the angels in the grandstand and mankind on earth. In John 13, he said, all will know. It's not all men will know, as it's translated. It's all. There's no anthropos there. It's all, angel and man. They're watching. Now, what we're getting ready to look at is, what are they going to observe when they observe the love of Jesus Christ? And I say that because we are to love one another as He has loved us. What are they going to see when they see love in action? What can I expect? Love is not silent. When I say love here, I mean spiritual love. Love is not silent. Love does not hide. Love is not stagnant. Love is a force. Now, if you remember anything from physics, a force is a constantly moving. It's a push, pull, push, pull. It's not stagnant. That's what makes it a force. It can change the direction of things. It can put things into motion. I mean, the analogies, once the Spirit opened my eyes to this analogy, teaching analogy, and that's all this is. But once it opened me from this teaching analogy, that spiritual love is a spiritual force in operation. All the things that a force does, it just intensifies understanding what love does. A force, something can be stagnant, standing still, a force comes along and puts it into motion. Something can be in motion, and it is love that can, or it is another force that can come and change it. Something can be going this way, hit by a force, and change the whole direction. That's how powerful spiritual love is. It can change the whole direction of your life instantly. Instantly. The moment you come in contact with it at the cross, for an example, it can change your whole life. So this is what we're looking at. So love is not silent. Love is not stagnant. It is a powerful force operating in the Christian lives. We have seen a brief description of a life without love in verses 1 through 3. Life without love, nothing. You say nothing, are nothing, do nothing. But where there is love, it can be seen. It is a force. It is a force that can be seen. And when a force comes into play, people, things happen. Things happen. And that's what we're looking at. Man's sinful condition separated man from God. But God's love solved the whole problem and unites. Love, when love is present, love does things. There's things that happen. When love is present, it makes a difference, people. It makes an impact and makes a difference, just like any force will. When love is absent, nothing happens. That's the difference. When love is present, things happen. When love is absent, nothing happens in your life. Now, you may be doing a lot, like verses 1 through 3, but it's nothing. It's nothing. But when love is present, things happen. God declares that God is love. He is love. And if there is no salvation, people, then He is not love. But there is love because He is salvation. One of the characteristics of love is that it must... One of the characteristics of love is that it must express itself. And we could talk about this for a moment even in human love, but where love is, it has to express itself one way or the other. Love doesn't just stay stagnant inside. It must express itself. It's like a force, and it must reveal itself. Love is a force, must manifest itself, express itself. Where love exists, certain things happen. Now, repeating what we have seen before, the Bible does not define love. I cannot just share with you from a person that's been in seminary 4 years and all the languages that I've taken and all of the studies and hours I've spent in studying, the whole mechanism of studying has changed in my life in dealing with such things as knowing that the secret now is not in the languages. People, I study the Greek and Hebrew. You're not going to ever be cheated from that. But I now know that the secret's not there. Yes, I'm going to be that, but there's no secret there. And just like in the John 5 study, when I did this in the early 80s, boy, and I read in faith, it all was about the man's salvation. What a beautiful thing it is in John 5 to realize this man's salvation has nothing to do with this story. There's something else entirely going on. And it just removes all of the trying to push into the passage and make it say this and make it say that. Doesn't want to say at all. Isn't what it says. But it's talking about who is this man, Jesus. So how beautiful it is to come to the realization the Bible does not define love. The Bible describes love. It describes an environment, people. There's an environment when love is present. Love describes the environment that's first of all going on inside your own soul. There's an environment when there is love, spiritual love, there's an environment that will create in your own soul when it's present. I love watching these sometimes on the various stations. They'll go through, and I think some time ago they went through 7 or 8 of the great Earth's, what was that series there? The Earth heavy things they went through. Things like blizzards, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcano eruptions, tidal waves. Went through a lot of things. Well, whenever you got these kind of forces working, things happen. Things happen. You boy, that's what a tidal wave looks like. And that's what it does. Well, people, spiritual love is a force. And when spiritual love is functioning, things happen, like the cross. Things happen. And so one of the things we're talking about here is that spiritual love is going to create an atmosphere, an environment, first of all in your soul, and then in your life, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your living room, in your home, at work, on the road, on the road, at church, everywhere. It creates an environment. Love describes the condition of your soul when love is present. The Bible describes what love is by describing what the world can see when they observe love. Now, what we're looking at are 16 descriptions of love here. What is this thing called love? Here are 16 descriptions of spiritual love. 8 are in the positive, 8 are in the negative. And what we want to do is learn them. Now, when I say learn them, they're not here so that you and I can learn them and then imitate them in our life, people. This is not the kind of thing you want to put one of these tapes on, and Christians do these stupid things, but put a tape around your wrist, and I'm going to practice on my love being long-suffering today. You can't do that. You cannot do that. You can't make this happen. And in a real sense, I'm going to spend time with you on long-suffering, but I want to understand right from the beginning, we don't really know what long-suffering is going to look like every time and what kindness is going to look like every time. You can't make this happen. But what is beautiful is if I'm aware of these things and I've come through and I can look back and go, ah, it's just like if you know the difference between, you know, a tidal wave and a tornado and these kind of things, okay, that you can identify. That's what that is. If we know what these things are and we're walking in the Spirit and we can look back at something, confrontation at home, work, whatever, ah, look what just happened. That's what kindness looks like. That's what not boasting looks like. So we get a feel of what these descriptions are. So we want to be aware of all of these things so that we can have these things occur in our life and then know that they occurred in our life. So we want to see these, understand this. These are in Scripture. This is spiritual love. This is not a help book. This is not try to make this happen. This is not human love. This is not something the unbeliever can produce, no matter how he may try. This is not something you and I can produce in the flesh. Well, I know I ought to be kind, so all right, I'll be kind. But it isn't going to work. Now, you may be kind, but as we just seen from verses 1 through 3, that's nothing. I don't care how kind you try to be. That's nothing. Well, I know I ought to give, so I'll give. That's nothing. It profits you nothing. It profits whoever you give to, but it doesn't profit you. So you want a life with meaning and purpose. You want a life with dynamics, then you want a life with love. There are 16 descriptions of spiritual love. Now, when love is absent, we're going to take a look at what happens when love is present, we're going to look at what can happen. Now, one other little footnote. This is not a complete list. This is not a complete biblical list. We're going to add to these when we finish this study. But we're going to start with these 16 here because Paul, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, has laid out these things. And so this is what we're going to take a look at. Now, he's going to start out, if we look at our passage now, 1 Corinthians 13, we're getting ready to have our fun now. He starts out, the very beginning in verse 4, he starts off with a positive. He says, love is long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. All right. Now, you have the word translated patient, but we'll take a look why I say long-suffering, but love is patient. Now look at verse 8. That's the first one. Verse 8, he ends the discussion, love never fails. Never. Spiritual love never fails. Now, you're just going to have to come across in your own life, do I believe that or not? Do I believe spiritual love will never fail, or do I need to execute judgment and all the other things that I want to execute? But we're going to have now 16 descriptions of love. Not definitions, but descriptions. Love is patient, love is long-suffering, love is kind. All right, those are the first two. See that? Positive. Two positives. I just kind of want you to be familiar with this chapter. Think your way through this chapter. Be aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing. So Paul starts off with, we're going to have 16 impacts, effects of spiritual love, whatever ways you want to call this, 16 characteristics. Now, he's going to start off, point one, he's going to start off with two positive ones. We're going to start off with two positive ones. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Next, Paul will give 8 characteristics of love described in the negative. Is going to give, secondly, we're going to have 8 in the negative. So, we're going to have 2 in the positive, 8 in the negative. Now, this is beautiful. When love is present, there are things that are not present, is what we have happening. Why would he express it in the negative? When love, spiritual love is present, there are things that are not going to be present. So that you and I can know. People, nobody has to tell you if you're walking in the Spirit. Once I first started seeing spiritual love, I began to realize nobody ever has to tell you and remind you you're not in spiritual love. If you're thinking clearly and you just listen to yourself, listen to your words, watch your actions, you're going to know. I'm not in the power of the Spirit. Maybe I thought I was, and maybe you don't care. That's a whole other deal. That's a whole other discussion. I'm talking about where you think you are, though. Just get in the habit of start looking at yourself and listening to yourself. Does this sound like it? Does this look like it? So we're going to look at 8 things that will not be present. Will not be present. The spiritual love is there. So we're going to take a look at the negative, and that's an important way to look at things. If love is there, then these things are not there. So if they're present in your soul, if these things are present in your soul, they're present in your life, they're present in your home, in your local church, then love is absent. Love is not there. So don't lie. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. You're not in spiritual love. You're not in the Spirit. Just be calm and realize that I'm not there. Not where I thought I was. So it's very easy here to know when spiritual love is present and when spiritual love is not present. So we just read through, we understand and begin to see, this is your house to describe my home, my life, first of all, my soul, my home, my life, my work, my church. So look at the negatives. Love is not jealous. And remember last week, now we took this up, let me just remind you, love is the subject. Love is the subject. Love is the subject, not you. It doesn't say you are not these things. It says love is not these things. So that if these things exist, you can know one thing. I'm not in spiritual love. So let's take a look at the negatives, just reading through, getting ourselves kind of familiar with the passage. Love is not jealous. It's a phenomenal characteristic. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. And we'll look at all these reasons why and everything. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecoming. You know, if you just take these four, I want you to kind of look at these four. Jealousy is in the soul. Bragging's overt. Arrogance is in the soul. Acting unbecomingly is overt. So what you got is you got in this love study of love, you've got two sides of a coin. The coin's love. This side of the coin is, let's take the end under here, that's inside your soul. That's inside your soul. So love is not jealous. Love is not jealous. And let me just share with you, jump right to it. Do you know what that means? You know what that means? That means that God can bless another believer without it getting you out of shape. Fundamentally, that's what it means. God can bless another believer and it won't even bother you. The other side, love does not brag. What does that mean? God can bless you without getting you out of shape. So love is a very powerful thing. I want you just to pardon the Johnny Mathis way of wording it. I just want you to fall in love with this love. It is so phenomenal what it'll do in your soul. It is just absolutely superb what goes on here and what can happen inside of your life if there is spiritual love flowing through. So it makes something so beautiful. Love is not arrogant. All right, let's go back up here. That's inside of you. Love is not arrogant inside. Therefore, if it's not arrogant, what's going to happen? Love does not act unbecomingly. So all you have to do is look at how I'm acting and see. Then it says, love does not seek its own inside. Love is not provoked. For that's powerful. We'll take a look at it. Love does not react when wrong. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Now, these things, we're just going to look through these things and find out what really is going on biblically. That give you some examples. Believers impatient often comes from what? If a believer is impatient, what I want you to see is that these things, a lot of these things, all of these things are involved in a spiritual warfare in various ways. But why would a believer often be impatient? Well, let me just tell you why. Often this comes about because a believer thinks he's superior. I'm superior. My knowledge is superior. I have superior knowledge. And because of my superior knowledge and my superior discernment, this believer becomes impatient, annoyed with stupidity, foolishness, ignorance of other believers, and becomes impatient. So I want you to see, we're going to take a look at this from not so often the traditional way. Most people want to talk about it from the sin standpoint and everything. People, I want us to examine it from that way, but also from the spiritual. Christians are often impatient, and it isn't because of what we might talk about, this thing of sin, wanting to control. It's, I have so much knowledge, and I just know, and you're just stupid, and you just get out of the way. That's where a lot of Christians are. You're just stupid. Now, I'm telling people, you're a loser, you're this, you're that. Very impatient. Where does it come from? Spiritual superiority. In their mind, they think they're spiritually superior. So they become impatient with others. I have superior wisdom. Therefore, I should have my own way. I know what's going on. I should act like I want to act, be like I want to act, because I'm superior. Spiritually. We're not dealing with this horrible sinner out on the street. We're dealing with born-again believers. So we're going to control rather than to act in the manner of spiritual love. See, what is lacking with all of this is the superior force of spiritual love. You may have superior knowledge, yeah. What's lacking? The superior force of spiritual love. That's what's lacking. So you're lacking what is really needed in life. The next you have, six positives. Two positives. two positives, eight negatives, and then we're going to have six positives. And I told you there were 16 impact or effects of spiritual love. So now we come back to, and why do I call it impact or effect? Because what are the three things about a force? Just so you'll be thinking with me on all of these things. A force has one, direction. It always has direction. Two, a force has magnitude. And three, a force has impact or effect. And those are the kinds of ways we're going to be looking at it. For God so loved the world, direction, that he gave his only begotten Son, magnitude, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the impact and effect of God loving the world, God's love. So what we're looking at here is 16 impacts or effects of spiritual love. First of all, inside you, then in your environment, wherever you are, wherever love is. This is why James can say their faith is dead. And what a lot of people have done in the book of James, and I'm sure that if you've done anything in James, the great battle is work versus faith, and everybody gets into this whole deal about work. People, Galatians chapter 5, what is the greatest work of faith? Love. Okay, so what he's talking about, James looked and saw no love. That's the work James is talking about, people. And he says, I live in your assembly. I'm not even following you people around at night to your homes and where you go. I'm just sitting here in your church and I don't see love. Visitors walk in, you don't care. Somebody in his game field, the rich walked in, boy, you set him up here at the front and gave him a real nice seat and the people who really come and love and everything, you put them on the back row. I don't see this what love does. So what do I know? I know you're not being saved. Faith without works is that what he's talking about, people, is the work of love. Okay. Now, we have six positives, eight negatives. Now we have six positives when love is present. Let's look at them. Then we'll close it there. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then the crescendo, love never fails. You never go wrong with spiritual love. So this is where we'll pick it up now. Well, not next Tuesday, it's 4th of July. We're not going to meet to let y'all spend it with your families and your days together. But we will meet Wednesday evening. But not on the 4th, but you have that day with your families and things. And but we'll pick it up here, and it's a nice place to get, because we're getting ready now to dive in. But this is what we're doing. We're studying this environment that you will see if spiritual love is going on in your soul and in your life. You'll know it. You'll know it almost every waking moment. You'll know. All you have to do is listen to yourself and look at yourself, the way you act. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you so much for the time we spent in prayer tonight. We thank you, Father, for the time we have in looking into spiritual love, which, Heavenly Father, we're calling spiritual love because it's from your Holy Spirit, therefore it is your love. It is your love that is given to us by your Spirit to be manifested in our lives. And that's an awesome thought, that we can have your love manifested in our lives, in our individual places where we work, in the church, home, everywhere. The same love that put your Son on the cross, the same love that raised him up from the dead, can occur in our lives. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.